For those of you that are joining us for the first time, we are going through a short series on the Lord's Prayer. Just a reminder that all of us are washing our hands much more these days. We're supposed to do it for 20 seconds. And if you recite the Lord's Prayer very slowly or a little bit quickly twice, you will have about 20, 25 seconds. So it's a really good way to, number one, gauge how long you're washing your hands, which is good for you, but also to pray the prayer, which is good for you and for all of us. And so we've been going through the Lord's Prayer and trying to find comfort in it, but not just comfort, also the challenge to move out into our world, to be ambassadors of God's kingdom into the world that he has given us, especially at this time when most of us are pretty much limited to our home. And today we're at the fourth petition, which is, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We've called God our Father. We've called for his name to be hallowed. We've called for his kingdom come, for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've prayed for our daily bread, which is this manna that God gives us. And now we're asking him to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And there's this whole thing of forgiveness and of asking for forgiveness and of extending an apology and of accepting an apology that's wrapped up in this petition. And this week, as really quite often happens to me, I ran across a podcast. And the podcast was hosted by Brené Brown. And if you've been following me over the last couple of months, you will know the name Brené Brown. She's a professor of sociology, I believe, in Houston, Texas, and is very, very popular for all kinds of things that she writes and says. And since a few months, she's been having a podcast. And on this particular podcast, which is two episodes, she had a guest, the psychologist Dr. Harriet Lerner. And Lerner is best known for her scholarly work on the psychology of women and family relationships and for her many best-selling books. She lectures and consults nationally while keeping her psychotherapy practice, which remains at the heart of her work. And this podcast was based on a book that Harriet Lerner put out a couple years ago called Why Won't You Apologize? Healing Big Betrayals and Everyday Hurts. And the podcast is in two sections. I just listened to the first section, but it was pretty interesting how Brené Brown started the podcast, because she said this as the introduction. These are Brené Brown's words. I've apologized more during this time of quarantine than I have during the last 5 years put together. I don't know about you, but I haven't been my best self. I've been my crappy self more than once, my tired self, my anxious self. Sometimes I feel like I'm doing everything incompletely. I'm an incomplete mom. I'm an incomplete partner. I'm an incomplete professor. And all of this even worse than what it normally might be. And I find myself apologizing a lot. So I'd like to ask this question. How is that for you? Has the thought in these last weeks that you've been stuck at home with other people, if you have been, or maybe had other interactions with people, that you may need to apologize a lot? Or maybe what's more realistic, you're actually feeling that the other person, especially that person under the same roof, needs to apologize a lot. Have you been your bad self, your crappy self, more than you want to be? And has apologizing, asking for forgiveness, and receiving forgiveness been a part of these last weeks? Have you thought about that? And are they going to be a part of the coming weeks as long as we're in this shutdown and, of course, beyond that? Our video challenge this week with the photos that were sent in was on the topic of forgiveness. And I found a song that presents the image of someone waiting at a train station by himself, waiting in the station for the train to forgiveness. So listen to this song, and then accompanying this song are pictures that were sent in by you this week, except for the first couple of pictures of the two train stations. I got them from the internet. They're not from you. Having a couple technical issues.
I don't know what just happened.
Everyone's still there?
Yeah, we're here. We're here.
Hang in there, everybody.
Down the track, looking for the light of forgiveness.
So it's been amazing to me as I've been thinking about this week, exactly how practical this Lord's Prayer is. And again, especially for us in this time, we ask God to forgive us our debts as it's used in Matthew. The word debts here is really only used twice in the New Testament. It means that which is owed. It means an obligation. It also would have meant sin, and then sin in the traditional sense of a moral shortcoming towards God or someone else. But it also had the sense of debt or obligation, which gives it a communal aspect. It's about what I owe to the community. It's about what we owe to the community. And of course, once we think about community, we start to think about, and you won't be surprised to hear this word, we think about empire, we think about kingdom, we think about issues of justice and liberation. So we're asking God to forgive us our debts, not just the personal sin that I commit against you or someone else, but the sin that we commit against each other and against God and his world. And the boldness to ask God to forgive us sin, whether it's personal sin or systemic sin, is rooted in Jesus' work on the cross. I'm quoting from Luke 23, the crucifixion story. When they had come to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It was empire that crucified Jesus. And it was for the sins of empire and the sins of us personally that he died. Isaiah 53 puts it this way, and you know this very well, I'm sure. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And yet, while the iniquity of us all was being laid upon his body, upon his shoulders, he said this, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." No forgiveness anywhere is possible without what Jesus did on the cross. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. I'm not saying that someone who has never heard of Jesus cannot legitimately forgive in the same imperfect way that all our forgivenesses fall short. I am saying that anyone, whether he or she knows Jesus or not, who forgives in any legitimate way, does so by the power of the crucified Christ, who prayed to forgive those who executed the creator of the universe. So if you want to grow in forgiveness, if you realize that maybe in your household in these weeks some forgiveness needs to take place, you're going to have to go to that cross. You will need to draw near to this Jesus. You will need to receive his forgiveness for yourself. And out of the forgiveness that you received from him, you can forgive and ask forgiveness. You can apologize and extend forgiveness to the other. So the first question that this petition drives us to is this: are you moving towards him? As you face stresses and strains of whatever kind in your home, are you going deliberately and intentionally to that cross and seeing Jesus hanging there, forgiving his enemies, and using that as the strength and the power you need to go to someone else, a partner, a child, a parent, whoever it may be, and say, "I did this. Will you forgive me?" What does that look like, that moving toward Jesus? And what could that look like? And of course, it sounds very conditional. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debts to us. And actually, if you read the next verse in Matthew after the Lord's Prayer is over, it sounds very much more conditional. Jesus says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." It sounds like if I don't forgive, I won't be forgiven. But we know that God's forgiveness for us is not conditional. When Jesus prayed that prayer from the cross, there were no conditions. He did not even call for faith. He did not say, "Father, forgive them if they believe." He just said, "Father, forgive them." The central core of the good news of the gospel, of the coming of the kingdom, it is that it's God's work, not ours. Ephesians 2, "By grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, not even your level of forgiveness, so that no one would boast." So how do we deal with this kind of what sounds like a condition here? And I would like to suggest to you that you understand this position, this petition, not as a condition, but as a description, and as a description of forgiveness as a dance. There's a book written about 8 or 9 years ago called Forgiving as We've Been Forgiven, Community Practices for Making Peace. And it was written by L. Gregory Jones and Celestin Musikura, who is Rwandan. And this book was written after the Rwandan genocide. And you remember how terrible that was. And you also remember the way that society, not perfectly, of course, has come together in the years since then. And here's what they wrote in this book. One of the ways Christian theologians have described the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is as a dance in which three persons, always giving themselves to one another in perfect love, are at the same time three and one. The love of the Trinity spills over into their love for us, people who are created by God for communion. Because forgiveness is at the heart of the God whom we worship as Trinity, we are swept up into that movement of God's love when, by the power of the Spirit, through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, we join the divine dance by being forgiven so that we can also forgive. Nothing in this world, and remember, this is being written out of the Rwandan situation, nothing in this world is more beautiful than seeing broken people healed through God's forgiveness, learned and lived in the body of Christ as they are swept up into God's dance. Imagine what it would look like and what it would feel like in the confines of your own home and with the people that you love, to enter into a dance of forgiveness with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and with those that you love and those that you are quarantined with. Where you're constantly seeing Jesus on that cross saying, Father, forgive them. And out of that strength, able to enter into the dance with those around you and say, I did this. Please forgive me. And yes, I will forgive you. And I would bet my bottom dollar that every single one of us listening today to this could use this. And I would bet my bottom dollar that not many of us are doing this very often, if at all, and sometimes not very well. This is hard for us, for all kinds of reasons. But think of it as entering into this dance. And Harriet Lerner on this podcast talks about forgiveness, about true forgiveness, asking and apologizing and then receiving forgiveness back as being a gift. Actually, she says it's three gifts. It's a gift to the other. When you say to the other person, I'm sorry, I apologize for, and you do it in the right way, it means that you have heard and you have seen the other. You have seen that what you did caused pain or distress or hurt. And that person feels seen and heard, and that person feels safe. So when you apologize, you are giving the other person a gift. But you're also giving yourself a gift. Because you can't apologize if you're not mature enough, far enough along in understanding yourself and in your self-worth and self-esteem to be able to say, you know, what I did was just simply wrong. I should not have done it. Will you forgive me? I apologize. So it's a gift to the other. It's a gift to yourself. And it's a gift, says Harriet Lerner, to the relationship. Relationships cannot function, and listen to this, this is I found so helpful. Relationships cannot function if we don't trust that we will try to heal the disconnection after we mess up. Relationships depend on the ability to repair hurt, and you all know how this goes. One person hurts another and nobody says anything about it, and the distance grows, the disconnection grows. An apology is the is a gift to the relationship. We are going to try to heal what is broken between us, and the relationship grows and develops and matures. And very, very quickly, I'm going to give you the 9 essential ingredients of a true apology by Harriet Lerner. I'm just going to mention them. If you have a pencil and paper, which you may not, but if you do, I'm going to get them out to you afterwards also. So if you can just listen, that's fine too. But I thought these were very, very helpful. And again, in the confines of your home, I am sure, again, I would bet my bottom dollar that all of you listening need this. What are the 9 essential ingredients of a true apology? The first one is get your butt out of it. An apology, a true apology, does not include a but. I'm sorry I did this, but I was tired, or but you were being cranky. Keep your butt out of it. It keeps the focus on your actions and not the other person's response. It includes an offer of reparation or restitution that fits the situation. I'm sorry I broke this. I will see that it's replaced, or whatever. I'm sorry I didn't do the dishes. I will do them the next time. Do not overdo. Do not exaggerate. Focus on and stay with what happened. A good apology also does not get caught up in who's to blame or who started it. Forget that. That's actually a part of the but. Do not worry about who's to blame or who started it. Take your responsibility. I did this. I shouldn't have. It requires that you do your best to avoid a repeat performance. And of course, here's where we as Christians would say, in order to avoid repeat performances, you're going to need heart change. And that comes from Christ through the Holy Spirit. And an apology should not serve to silence the other person. It shouldn't be used as a weapon. And it shouldn't be offered to make you feel better if it risks making the hurt party feel worse. Sometimes, as you know, our apologies are designed to make us feel better, and we have little concern for how the other person feels. And the last one is, a true apology does not ask the hurt party to do anything, not even forgive. And that's the heart of what Jesus did on the cross. Harriet Lerner has tapped into that in some way. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was not asking them to do anything. And when you apologize in a true way, you are not asking the hurt party to do anything. So I would like to put a challenge before you this morning. I'm going to send you the link to the 2 podcasts. The first one, I think they're both about an hour long. The second one may be a little shorter than an hour. And I would challenge you to sit down and listen to them with maybe your partner or with your family. I don't know if the children could sit through a whole hour, but maybe pieces of it. Sit down and listen to it and think about the impact of true apology in your household, as you are there in your house with each other in quarantine. I will also send out the 9 essential ingredients that I just read so that you can look at them and apply them. And I would like to encourage you to make work of this, to root it in Christ's work for you, to go back to Him, to receive His forgiveness for yourself, and then be open and honest and free to enter into the dance of forgiveness and see maybe what that might do as you're in your homes and with the people you love, but sometimes struggling because it really is a time of anxiety and stress, and we really are not always, if ever, of course, our best selves. So God bless you as you apply this petition to your lives in the very practical setting of today. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we know that we need forgiveness. We know that our world needs forgiveness. And we know that we need to apologize to others. And we know that we need to accept forgiveness. We know that we would flourish, or we would flourish more as we enter into this dance with each other and with you as triune God. And we know how difficult it is for us to do, especially when we're under stress and having anxiety of whatever kind. So would you please help us? Would you draw us closer to you? Would you draw us closer to each other in this dance of forgiveness and love? And may our homes be more and more places where this joy and this love and this building of healing relationships is happening in very practical ways. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.